Seamus O'Matthew here in the National Library. Seamus, can I start by talking to you about your background, who you are, where you came from?
Sure, yeah. Well, my name is Seamus O'Matthew, but to my family, I'm known as Jim Matthews. I'm a Dubliner, and I grew up in Rathmines, and we lived in little artisans' dwellings behind the town hall in Rathmines, and we lived there because my grandfather was a fireman in Rathmines Fire Station, working for the old Rathmines Township. So I grew up there and went to school locally and CBS Western Road then. At school, I took a great interest in the Irish language, Irish culture and all of that. And despite my family name being Matthews, I've used Seamus O'Matthew since I was about 10 years of age. And in fact, I speak Irish at home most of the time. So I then, when I left Western Row, did my leaving cert there. I went to UCD and I did English and Irish there, but I always had an interest in history. And then eventually I went back to Maynooth part-time and did an MA in history and then a PhD in history, and have been researching and writing a bit of history over the years and teaching various courses in history for different colleges, right, and so on.
And so your interest in Jacobs, how did that come about?
Well, my main research interest is Dublin and Dublin history. And I've got kind of an interest in industries, Dublin industries. And I was sitting at home. You won't believe how this actually happened, the spur for this. Sitting at home one Christmas, I think it was Christmas Day, St. Stephen's Day, and I just happened to notice an advertisement in the newspapers for Jacobs. And they mentioned in the advertisement that their 150th anniversary was coming up the following year. So that's interesting. And I hadn't seen much written about Jacobs, a lot written about Guinnesses. Guinnesses sort of make a big thing of their heritage and all of that, their Dublin background. But, I mean, the next biggest industry in Dublin was Jacobs, basically. But I hadn't seen much about them at all. So I thought there might be an article in it. So I contacted Jacobs, and one thing led to another. And then it was suggested that perhaps a book be done to celebrate the 150th anniversary, and that's basically what happened.
And when did you start to write this book?
I started to write it, it would have been the year previous to about 2000, about the year 2000, and it came out then in 2001. So there was kind of a short period to get the research done and the book out. Now, again, in conjunction with Jacobs, what they wanted was a book for the general reader. Mm. They didn't want a big academic tome, and I was perfectly agreeable to that. Basically, they wanted it to perhaps give to all of their employees, their ex-employees, their customers, and so on, and also have on general sale, you know, for the general. But very much a general sketch, but a general background to the whole history of Jacobs and how it came about.
Well, during your work, what did you uncover? What was the exciting yes. bit of Jacobs?
Yes. Well, there were a couple of things. Number one, something that really fascinated me. I had known about it all right, but I hadn't known the extent of it. The Jacobs were Quakers. This was very, very important. Really, it was from their religious background that they got into making biscuits, believe it or not. The Quakers in England, when they were established in the 17th century, were very, very good business people. They got into business big time in Britain. But they shunned any business that they would regard as harmful to humanity. So they had a very select areas that of industry that they were interested in, what they called innocent trades. They used that term, innocent trades. And a big one was the food industry, particularly something based, say, on wheat and bread and all of baking, you know, the staff of life, bread being the staff of life and all of that. So in England, they got into making biscuits, Huntley and Palmer, for instance, Carrs of Carlisle, they're all Quaker families. Also, they got into tea, coffee, chocolate making, the confectionery industry. And that kind of arose too from a religious instinct, that they wanted to provide something as an alternative to alcoholic drink for people. So the Bewleys, for instance, they used to use this term for tea, for instance, the beverage, what was it? Now, the beverage that inebriates, sorry, that refreshes but does not inebriate, you know, this type of thing. So they opened a lot of their coffee shops, like Bewleys, for instance, and quite a number of them in England, tea businesses, to try and wean people away from pubs and hard drink and all of that, you know. So everything was a religious instinct coming through, you know. And I mean, they got into the confectionery industry in a big time, like Cadbury's and Rowntree's, and they were all Quaker families. In fact, they had the whole confectionery, tea, coffee business sewn up in England, really, you know, biscuit making. They dominated it, you know,
yeah.
All through the 19th century and into the 20th century.